The biggest thing about me doing what I do is offering people opportunity, not to have to drop into suffering any deeper than they already have. If that can be prevented and alleviated, then I'm in. That's what I do.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins. Welcome back. I hope you've been having an amazing week. It's been so beautiful in Topanga. We've gotten a lot of rain. I was nervous. I didn't think we were really going to get much more this season, but enough to fill up our creek, which is so stunning, and all of our native plants are just taking off. We're finally in our home. It's definitely still undergoing a couple of interior things that we're living with in construction, but I feel one step closer, and I was lucky enough to have a safe, social distanced baby welcoming gathering, a little blessing. So that felt really beautiful because it feels like I crossed a threshold. It was an anchor and a grounding point that took me from the stress of everything that I've been going through and helped put me in my body and tracking and ready for this experience that's coming up actually incredibly soon. So that also gave me a lot of perspective being held in that space to transition for what's to come. As I shared on Instagram stories, if you don't follow, we're at To Be Magnetic on Instagram, where coaches and myself are checking in weekly with you based on the theme of the month to give you a focus of the week. This particular month and every couple of months, we're going to be focused on the daily practice. And this particular month, we've looked at envy, jealousy, expansion. We also looked at guilt last week, which was really powerful. We'll have to make a highlight. That's something I need to put a note of. We need to make a highlight so you can go back if you haven't had a chance to check these out on Instagram, just so that we can help guide you. And the whole reasoning is that you need to have a practice, right? We all need to have a practice. And so if you haven't taken the quiz yet, which is linked below, and that's a quiz to find out what your DI style is. Are you a habit stacker or an intuitive? I personally am a habit stacker, but majority of people in our community are intuitives. So go and take that quiz if you haven't yet to determine your style. And then we give you tips of how to really hunker down in your practice. And every week we're giving a focal point. So this particular week ahead, we're really going to be focused on core wounds. What's the core wound that's coming up for you? The recurring energetic that pops up in your life. And that's totally different from everybody. You know, and it can be spanning across any theme. Money, love, relational, personal, career. So once you figure that out, make sure to tune in on Monday on Instagram stories. A coach is going to pop on and is going to walk you through how to use the daily practice, a theme overview, how to recognize what a core wound even is, where it's showing up in your life, and recommendations on what DIs to do and walk through based on your DI style. Totally free. We're just really trying to guide people into their practice and make it a habit, regardless of what your style is, because that's where you start to see the remarkable change. And if you don't know, we have a new deep imagining in the daily practice inside of the pathway for this month, which is titled Envy and Jealousy DI. So if that activation comes up for you, it's a perfect DI to walk through to get to the bottom and shift that energy into expansion, which is so powerful. Today's guest needs very, very little introduction. Many of us are very familiar with Byron Katie, who goes by Katie. She's an American speaker and author who teaches a method of self-inquiry known as The Work, or The Work by Byron Katie. And if you have any association with Byron Katie, you know that The Work consists of four questions. It's very simple, a very simple process, but incredibly mind-bending at the same time, and then a turnaround technique. So she had an awakening experience in her life, which transformed her in that moment from a low place of depression to self-actualization, which helped put her on her path to longevity of enlightenment. I know everybody's going to take a lot away from this episode. She's certainly one of those gurus of the time when self-help made the biggest splash not too long ago. And what I found so interesting about the episode is I kept inquiring questions, and really she just kept coming back to the same answers, regardless of how I asked a question or how I formatted it. And that's what I love about her process, is it is simplistic. It anchors. You can always come back to these four questions, a turnaround, and ultimately the entire goal is to become fully present and let go of ego. So not to get into too much more, let's first hear a word from our partners and we'll hop right into this episode with Katie. When we decided to start partnering with brands, we had and have a very exclusive filtration process. Number one, has to be things that we absolutely already use and love. Two, has to be chic and accessible. And three, has to be in alignment with our ethos. So this particular brand, I was very excited to work with. So when this came through, it was the perfect, perfect alignment, and it's Kin Euphorics. I first discovered Kin at my birthday, actually, last year. I've been sober curious. I love that terminology because that became very popular a couple of years ago. But in fact, I actually stopped drinking back at 30, simply because it just did not jive with my body anymore and my adrenal issues. And just a little backstory at that time, it's actually when I was parting from my ex and calling in my next experience, which would become Max. And I had this moment where, back in the day when I met my ex, I was a cocktail server for 7 years. I was the girl who was throwing down whiskey every night, or tequila, life of the party. And then I matured into who I became at 30. And I actually had a lot of fear surrounding dating or finding a partner that would not just want to get messed up all the time together. And of course, I manifested the perfect person who was sober. And so when it came to my birthday last year, because I am a lover of fine liqueurs and different spirits, I really wanted to have a classy signature drink at the party. So my friend who's a bartender, I picked up a bottle of High Road and I had her create a drink for everybody to enjoy, which was a total smash. I had actually heard about Kin through our coach, Amanda Blair, who would help them at events, and I became very, very intrigued by them. So when I got this bottle, it was especially cool as an herbalist because it has rhodiola inside of it, which supports the balance of cortisol, the stress hormone that triggers fight or flight. So it really helps to bring you back into homeostasis, but it also has nootropics, which make partying fun. So, but it's the natural version. It has GABA, 5-HTP, caffeine, and tyrosine to support neurotransmitters in charge of mood, pleasure, and reward for a boost of social stamina. And then I love that it had hibiscus and other things like licorice, because it really rounds out the flavor, but it also gives that aperitif or digestif vibe. Back when I was at the final stages of enjoying a drink before I stopped drinking, I was drinking a really well-known Italian liqueur. I would have that as sort of a spritz. And so this kind of mimics that same vibe. It could be a digestif or an aperitif. And so for anybody out there who is sober curious or who is just looking to have an experience that's really elevated, but doesn't have all of the side effects of being hungover or depressed or all of the things I used to feel in the end when drinking, Kin is definitely the place to turn. It's the extremely chic balance between nootropics, adaptogens, botanics that can be had alone or you can turn into a wonderful chic drink. And we have a special code for you, all caps, magnetic, MAGNETIC 15 to receive 15% off. So again, that's all caps, magnetic 15 to receive 15% off your purchase. So when we made the decision to bring on partners to partner with on this podcast to take it to the next level so that we could bring on even greater experts than we have recently, one of the main ones we've been talking about lately that I personally have been mentioning for the last 2 years is Blue Blocks, the blue and green light blocking company. I have 2 episodes with the founder, Andy Mann, and I've shared that I own 4 of their products that I've bought with my own money. That's the yellow glasses for daytime when it's overcast or rainy. So if you live in the UK or the Pacific Northwest, it's especially good for you. So of course, it was a no-brainer to partner with Blue Blocks. But for perspective, just one thing that I want to bring to your attention is how blue light's affecting you in general. And one of the major ways that nobody's really aware of is that blue light and green light are omitting from most of the devices that you're using daily. Certainly your computer, your phone, but things you don't even realize, like the clock on your oven or the lights on your Wi-Fi device, they're everywhere. So if you're somebody who suffers from any type of sleep troubles whatsoever, hormone issues, and you're noticing rapid aging, blue light blocking is vital for you. So I've mentioned the type of glasses, but they also have light bulbs, especially the Lumi Sleep. So one to have at night in your home in place of the traditional LED, which is littered with blue light. The light bulbs are also available in their product line. They also have a new red light device called the Hive, which is a more accessible red light and near infrared light therapy that's been scientifically proven in peer-reviewed clinical trials to have anti-aging effects on our skin, help with neurological diseases, fight depression and anxiety, increase fat loss, speed recovery from exercise, improve your sleep, increase strength and endurance, and combat some autoimmune conditions. I personally have quite a few infrared light therapy devices, such as mats or saunas, but this one's actually red light and infrared. And we get into the benefits of red light in that particular episode that's linked below, and how it is such an important healing force from the sun to help us with most of the things I just listed. And why the Hive is so interesting and specific is that it has non-flickering, low EMF, high-powered LEDs, whereas a lot of, say, the infrared saunas out there are high EMF and they flicker. So this device in particular is handheld and much more accessible than most of those bigger mats and saunas and all of those great things. So if you want to learn more about Blue Blocks, go ahead and check the link below. Listen to that episode. It'll blow your mind. You'll notice your sleep transforming immediately, just starting with the glasses. And if you want to give any of their products a try, use the code all caps magnetic, MAGNETIC for 15% off your purchase. Well, welcome to the podcast. It really is such an honor to have you. I heard about you years ago, and your work is so profound, as I don't want to say simple as the tools are, the work, but as approachable and effective with the 4 questions and the turnaround. So we're going to get into all of that. But before we do, I just want to welcome you and say hello.
Thank you, Lacey. Thank you. Thank you for your good work, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And the first question we ask everybody is, what is your astrology sign?
Oh, I'm Sagittarius, they say.
Oh, that actually makes a lot of sense to me. And then the very second question we ask everybody is, tell us about your cultural background and upbringing.
Oh, you know, just middle class, wonderful little neighborhood. And it was long before internet. And so we played kick the can until dark and all kinds of games, you know, the neighborhood kids. It was so much fun. That's what comes to mind when you ask the question. And I'm having so much fun seeing that in my mind's eye now. And when the sun started going down, you could smell, like in all of the houses, you could smell what each house was, you know, what they were cooking for dinner, because there was no television. And they had different ways of calling. Each parent had different ways of calling the children. One father would whistle, and we all knew his whistle, and we all knew who had to go home. And yeah, so that kind of upbringing, small town, everyone was parent to everyone else's kids. You know, it was really sweet.
The true village.
Mm-hmm.
And so this wouldn't be a true podcast start with you if we didn't ask about your awakening moment, which I find so fascinating. I've heard it many times throughout the years, first starting with Oprah's podcast. And so maybe if you want to explain what led up to that moment and then the moment itself.
Well, years of depression and agoraphobia and oh my goodness. I think the biggest thing about me doing what I do is offering people opportunity, not to have to drop into suffering any deeper than they already have. And if that can be prevented and alleviated, then I'm in. That's what I do. And I invite people to question what they believe. But what actually happened, my experience was I was so full of self-loathing. I didn't believe I deserved a bed to sleep in. So I would sleep on the floor near my bed, actually. And one particular morning, a cockroach crawled over my foot. I was in a dead sleep. And as soon as that happened, I opened my eyes. And before the ego could fill in the space, there was no identity. No identity. It was, and in hindsight, which is the only way I can tell it, it was stunning. Doesn't begin to touch what I became aware of. I saw how my world was created. The world just showed itself to me. I saw, you know, a window, and I could see the clouds through the window from the floor, and I could see walls and the ceiling and the bed. And but there was no name. And then the ego began to name it. And then that's literally when I could see window, floor, ceiling, sky. And I began to laugh. It was the first sound out of, well, I could say at that time, out of its mouth, without identity. It was just an extraordinary experience. And I'm glad you asked me, Lacey, because the important thing that came out of that is that when we believe our thoughts, we suffer. And when we question our thoughts, we wake up to a whole other, it's like prior to the cockroach crawling over my foot, when people take this on, inquiry on as a practice. But the important thing is, I've come to see that it's true for everything, every human being in the world. When we believe our thoughts, we suffer. When we question them, we don't, if we go deeply enough. Or I would say, when we believe our thoughts, we suffer. And when we don't believe our thoughts, we don't. We're awake. We're clear. It's an understandable, friendly universe.
And I'm so excited to dig into all of that. But before I do, I have to note, it's so interesting because many people have this experience before they become, you know, really profound spiritual leaders and teachers and speakers, you know. And so even I think Eckhart had a very similar experience, you know, and it's this sort of awakening that happens. It's kind of like full consciousness in that one little moment. And, you know, you had that opening and the download. How long did that last for? Or was it just the split second and then everything came to you?
Oh, it was a split second, and it's not reoccurring. It's a state of presence. It's a state, we could say a state of mind, and that hasn't changed.
And leading up to that, you know, because I'm sure many people listening have been afflicted and suffered from different forms of depression and anxiety. And I mean, in this year alone, how did that trigger for you when you first started to have symptoms of it in your life and when it became debilitating? Can you talk about that experience a little bit? Because it's such a night and day shift that I just really am excited to dig into the work after.
I'd say my life was, I was a mother of three. And, you know, prior to the depression, it was, gosh, it was just standard American or standard world experience, you know, sending them off to school and paying the bills and doing the dishes and a really, gosh, nothing to complain about. I'm sure that I did. That's such a good question, Lacey. But, you know, they're always, to my children, you know, eat breakfast. It's what time are you coming home after school? Do you have the usuals? And really, really nice life, really nice life. And then the years where I was so agoraphobic, I spent, I could say, probably most of my life in bed. I was so depressed.
Wow.
And it was obviously debilitating. And again, I don't want anyone to have to go so deeply into the insane. And when I look back, it was, you know, what I was thinking and believing. That's why I can say, you know, my own self-inflicted insanity. And without saying self-inflicted, if I take that back, just the ego at work and identifying me as basically a throwaway human being, as a mother, as a wife, as a provider, from my appearance to I wasn't smart enough. Oh, you know, the ego at work. It offers up a past that is pure fiction in the moment. It's a spell. And, you know, life is, someone said life is suffering. And there's a way out of that.
And I love that. That brings me to my next question. How do you personally define suffering?
A sleep to the dream of a past that's unacceptable to me, a future that is fearful and a past that's regretful. And the past regretful, you know, and the future showing up as the ego would offer it up as dismal when it's a dream. For example, I see in my mind's eye sitting with my husband, Stephen, at breakfast. And that's the past. So that's obviously not Stephen. It's a daydream the ego is offering up to identify as, you know, that's me. And then I see I have a date with Stephen for dinner tonight. And so I see me at dinner tonight with Stephen in my mind's eye. Well, there's that Byron Katie. Then there's one at breakfast in my mind's eye, that Byron Katie. And then there's the Byron Katie talking to you. That's three. So who am I? You know, the question, who am I? Not that. And so it's the work, this inquiry is a way to understand the difference and to be in touch with the gift of life.
Yeah, and it kind of feels to me, once we get into the work, it sort of pierces the matrix. It makes your brain pause to pierce it.
I've heard so many people compare it with the matrix.
It's true. And before we get into that, I love that you've said pain is usually remembered or anticipated.
It's either remembered or anticipated.
Which is what you were just highlighting.
Yeah, so people can test that for themselves.
Great. And then going into the work, I mean, I don't want to say simple because that's not the case, but often with a lot of work in self-development, spirituality, it can be very extensive or long. And I think what's so refreshing about the work for you, the real basis comes down to these questions and a turnaround. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, let's say something terrible is going to happen and I can see it in my mind's eye in the future, like I'm going to cross the street and there's traffic, and that's not a good example either. Something simple. I'm going to have lunch with Stephen today. Okay. So is it true? And then when we sit in the question, is it true? That's an opportunity to get really still and notice, where's my proof? What is the ego offering up? An image of the future, the not now. Now, as we discussed a few moments ago, or I pointed to, that's an illusion. That's me imagined. And so I'm having lunch with Stephen in my mind's eye, but that's not me. So I'm going to have lunch with Stephen. You know, is it true? And then I notice, how do I react? That's the next question. You're only four. Is it true? Can I really know that it's true? Those two questions. Now, the third one, how do I react when I believe the thought? Now I'm wondering what's going to be on the menu. And do I want to eat there? And what should I wear? And oh, that's, you know, I need to wear something else. Darn, I don't have, I was going to go shop. You see, it's just like ego is just taking me into another world as I sit here and just think the thought, I'm going to have dinner with Stephen tonight. So is it true? Can I really know that it's true? No, my goodness, a bus could hit me on the way. Yeah. You know, I just can't know anything. And, you know, chances are I'll make it, but I can't really know as I meditate in the question, is it true? Can I really know that it's true? So how do I react when I believe the thought? Well, we've seen, we go into the future and we see the image of, you know, this entire not I experience. I'm in the wrong clothes. I'm in the right clothes. Is the menu this or that? So the future. And then I see the past of occasions when I wasn't dressed properly, or I'll be late again, all this past. And that I don't like that restaurant, I know, because I can see that in the past. Now, not right or wrong, it's just sitting in the question and witnessing, how do I react when I believe the thought, I'm going to have dinner with Stephen tonight? And then the fourth and last question is, who would I be just now? Without the thought, I'm going to have dinner with Stephen tonight. Now, it doesn't change whether it's fact or fiction in time. It's just, who am I without it? I'm present. And the gifts here, you know, I'm being breathed. I'm not breathing. I'm being breathed. Fingernails. I'm clothed. I'm talking to you. There's nothing to fear and there's nothing to regret. I'm present. I don't need to plan what I say. I have no idea the questions you're going to ask or what my answer would be. So only the authentic can live out of that presence. For better, for worse, it's authentic. So, and then I'm going to have dinner with Stephen. Then I invite people to turn the concept around. I'm not going to have dinner with Stephen this evening. And then I don't believe it or disbelieve it. I just try it on. That's refreshing. I'm not locked into my yes. I can change my mind. I'm going to have dinner with Stephen tonight. Stephen's going to have dinner with me tonight. Ah, you know, I could invite him. I don't have to go to that restaurant, and maybe he'll join me. So you see, I'm just musing on opposites. Mm-hmm. We have horrendous things that have happened to us in the past. Anytime in my life that I was fearful or full of regret can be worked now. I simply meditate in the situation that I was fearful in, or shame, any experience. I meditate in that situation when I experienced it, and I identify what I was thinking and believing in that situation. And now I've got the cause of my suffering. Now that's taking responsibility. It leaves me without blaming other people. It leaves me responsible. And in that, it's to live a fearless life.
And empowered to write your own life.
And freedom is our birthright. And freedom isn't, oh, yeah, I'm free. It's not like that. It is free to live out your life. And a non-regrettable, powerful way without worry. We don't need to worry to do a good job living out our heart's desire. It doesn't take courage, just awakeness.
What I love about the work, those four questions and the turnaround is, you know, a lot of mindful practices, they just ask you to center your thoughts, let all your thoughts go. You know, that's so hard in today's society. And essentially, these are four anchors, maybe five with the turnaround, you know, that take us out of the present moment and allow ego to fill the spot with, like you're saying, triggers,
Oh, boy, yeah. Boy. And it knows how to invent them. They're all invented.
Absolutely. I just love that. And in your teachings, it really feels like your work revolves around radical transparency with yourself and others. How can we begin to recognize when we're caught in a belief system that isn't serving us or isn't true? Is it just based on being triggered?
Emotions let us know. And emotions in my life, I've come to experience them as such a gift because they're like the temple bell that wakes me up to what I'm thinking and believing. That is the source of our emotions, of our emotional. And I'm certainly not against those emotions. When in that third question, how do I react when I believe the thought? You know, some of the thoughts we're questioning can be, you know, fairly staggering. And it's worth sitting in how I react when I believe the thought to allow those emotions to live. So you see the power of ego, the power of mind, and how it just really shakes us, how it stops us in our life, basically.
And how do you define ego? Obviously, a lot of us listening understand the general concept, but I want to hear your definition.
Well, you know, I'm going to have dinner with Stephen tonight. Okay, so I see me in the future with Stephen in that restaurant. That's pure ego. That is not I. Mm. And I see me, I've been to that restaurant before. I didn't particularly care for it. Well, I see me in that restaurant in the past. That is not I. I'm sitting here. So that's ego. And when I believe the thoughts, you know, I'm looking at the menu. I'm doing, you know, I'm being eyed. I'm being eyed by the ego. And it's false. It's always false. And it's not to change what I'm thinking and believing. It's to wake up to the ego's play. And again, to have a fearless, full life.
And in the happy moments, let's say, because many people sitting here, you know, they know what it feels like to be in the emotions of anger, anxiety, triggered, fear, all of that. But in the happy moments, do you also practice this as well to maintain presence?
I have a lot to laugh about. The absence of fear is a gift. And like, if you ask me, are you going to have dinner with Stephen tonight? And let's say I plan to do it. I'd say, yes. Well, in my internal, absolutely doesn't know. It's like you can talk here in Earth School. It's what we do. But the truth is far beyond it. And even such a simple thing, it's like, what is your name? And I say, Byron Kathleen. But don't ask me if I believe it or not.
I love that.
And as you ask me, what is my name? I get to hear it at the same time for the very first time. And that's what it's like to live without a past. I'm always new to me.
And you, because of practicing the work for so long, you've been able to essentially disassociate from your identity because no ego. Like, you've really practiced, good or bad, the questioning of ego in general and what that makes up about you, your life, future, past, good or bad. You're able to live so present in the moment now.
And I don't know if I'm dissociating.
Or not, I don't mean that as a bad thing.
Well, it's interesting though, you could say it. It's interesting. I see it in my mind's eye, so it's already disassociated. It is not I.
Right.
So am I doing it? No. But am I witnessing? Yes. And I don't want to miss the ego either. It's what creates an entire world. And I certainly don't want to miss. It's just not valid.
And it's not what defines you or your emotional state.
Yes, because I'm awake to that's not I without separating from it. You know, I'm comfortable witnessing.
It's beautiful. And that's the perfect solution for getting out of those loops that continue to control us, you know, the chains.
Yeah, without having to escape.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or numb.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm in my third trimester. with my first baby.
Oh, honey. Oh, my God. I know.
And you can imagine all of the ego and fear we're remodeling right now. I mean, the stress levels that I wake up with every evening, you know, so I really have to put this into practice. What have you found as both a mother and a grandmother, the best way to approach this for the health of your children and grandchildren?
Oh my gosh. To love the one you're with, that's you, number one. And now to love the one you're with, there's a baby.
Yep.
And so anything in my world, to question anything that causes stress, to identify it, write your thoughts, the thoughts you're thinking down, and question it. And same for what happens in the past. Like you see all kinds of tragedies around birth from television, et cetera, and maybe from friends or family. And those enter one's mind's eye. And then you see maybe that could happen to you in the future. To know the difference and to list your fears and to question them and to just know, oh my goodness. You know, the baseline for me is this world is good without opposite, but the ego would lead us to believe otherwise. And then that leaves you open, sweetheart, for anything and everything. I don't know what my heart's desire is. I don't know what that is, meaning why would I fear when I understand that life is working for me, not against me?
I love that.
So, you know, this babe about to come into your precious life, just know that this is your teacher and to be devoted to that teacher, because it comes, this precious life comes to you with a lot of lessons. And, you know, my children are my teacher. They're my beloveds. And my husband and you, everyone in my life, my teacher. I see myself as the only unenlightened being in this world, and I'm here to learn.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode in case you're hearing anything that is piquing your attention and you feel like you're ready to start your manifestation journey now. You can go ahead and use the code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase, or you can try our new 3-workshop bundle for beginners, the basics bundle. If you're ready to dive right into the Pathway membership, you can use the same code to receive your first month off. The Pathway includes every single one of our workshops, as well as our monthly class supported, where we answer the most frequently asked questions that you send in. And if you're totally new to this work, this is your first time tuning in, or you've just been interested in what you've been hearing lately, I always encourage people to go click on the link below called The Motivation. It's our portal that houses every single one of our members' manifestations that they've materialized, their testimonies, how they went about the process, and it's categorized. So whether you're looking for love, money, career, I mean, there's a slew in there of what you can find. Not to mention, you're already beginning the manifestation practice, because as you read those, you're expanding. You're seeing to believe what's possible for you. And if you just want to get a taste of what the workshops are like and our deep imagining process, I suggest clicking the link below and checking out the free clarity exercise. In that exercise, you'll get a taste for our journal process, the hypnosis process, and you'll even get some aha unblocking moments. The Pathway provides the most bang for your buck with 12 months of all access to every single one of our workshops, our members-only community group, for just 12 payments of $27 per month. Again, the code is EXPANDED for $20 off any purchase or your first month. Check out the show notes to learn more about our offerings. All right, back to this episode. Recently in an IGTV you spoke about beautiful being a state of mind versus a sense of control or collateral. Control is what's been coming up for me the most. That's what I'm wrestling with, which I think is the early stages of learning to surrender to this teacher and to this experience.
We really think we know better than anyone else sometimes, and even more than, you know, we could say God, even more than I know. And oh my goodness. And then we begin to notice that people have different opinions, and they just don't quite get it sometimes. And that can be very frustrating to the I know mind. But oh my gosh, who would you be surrendered? Oh my goodness. It's exciting to live life on the other side of that and to witness that it's all working for me.
Yeah, that's so powerful. That's a great exercise in itself.
Yes. I want to go left and Stephen wants to go right. And I get excited about right, as beautiful as left looks. I get excited about right because I understand the nature of everything. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to say, honey, you know, I get that and I'm going left.
Right.
But there's no war in it. He doesn't have to go with me.
And is Stephen the husband you were with pre-awakening?
No. That poor saint is long past.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I'm so sorry. My gosh.
Oh, you know, it's a beautiful world.
Yeah. And when it comes to relationship, I mean, obviously it always anchors down to these tools. And we've been using Stephen as a wonderful example. In relationship, this can be so valuable, right? Because in surrender, there's a lot of compromise in a way, energetically speaking. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, it is that he wants to go to the right and I want to go to the left. And if I want to be with him, I get excited about going right for the reasons that I stated. And if I want to go left, I go left and he goes right. But there's no argument about it. There's no war. So we're together in that.
I think that was a great example. I personally am lucky to have that experience in my partnership as well, that support and the autonomy, even not asking these questions all the time, which is, you know, already a lucky thing.
Oh, well, you just have a wonderful sense of self and in the best way.
And is that what you think a really, you know, successful or happy relationship can come down to? Is that two people are autonomous enough to look at themselves and to ask these questions?
Well, I just don't require that second person to have that ability. It only takes one, and that's me. And it's the opposite of a selfish way. It's actually inclusive. It's just everything we've just talked about without the other person having to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe in that as well. It really comes down to us.
It doesn't mean I wouldn't leave that kind of relationship, but it certainly would be to his benefit as well. And conversation would reveal that there's no downside to love. We don't have to live with someone just because we love them. It's just wonderful for the two of us and people like us that's our path. To be with someone that holds those attributes as well.
Yeah, I love that. It's beautiful. In a time that feels so divided in every way possible, it can leave us all feeling very separate from one another. How can we start to see our own beliefs play into the divide? And how can we come back to peace, even if we only have control over ourselves, like you're saying?
To see what I am and believing, to question that and come back to myself as I question that, that's because that's what's required for me to look at me. And the way I do that is like I would identify what I was thinking and believing and question it, because that is the source of my problem. That is the only problem if I've got one. It's what I'm thinking and believing about that other person, about me, about the world. You know, so I identify those things and I move them from my head to paper and then I question them. And that's the practice.
And do you feel like the greatest starting point is to really look at your emotional range and then start to look at, okay, well, what is causing these emotions? What are the beliefs, the thoughts, and then move to paper?
And that's where it starts, from the emotional. It doesn't have to. We can just sit in our meditation, get still, and then something of regret or judgments or future fears will show up as we sit in that silence. And then to identify that situation that is arising in us and then write a worksheet from that situation. And that really covers it. And then we question the thoughts on paper. We can all agree that there's suffering in the world from our own experience. And the cause of that suffering is what I'm thinking and believing in any situation. And so I can look to myself and be responsible for that. And it, when I'm free, it frees up the people in my world. They're not the cause of my suffering. Ultimately, they're showing me what I haven't worked yet. They show me where I still have work to do.
The mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm loving about everything that you're saying, especially when you go through the example of the four questions of the work, it seems that one of the ways to remove our own suffering is to accept that there's no one truth, but multiple truths, right? Because it's the ego labels all of these things and experiences and multiple beliefs. So it's allowing room for them without judgment. How can we begin to release control in the needing to be right or the needing for things to be certain and safe?
Well, often it's right to be wrong. We really are locked into something we haven't tested yet and we're so sure. So to first be open to, is it possible I'm wrong? And before I would go to war for it, I would certainly hold that question. But to go to war shows me that I'm wrong ultimately anyway. To go to war meaning like to argue.
To force your opinion, force your rightness.
Or to try to change theirs. They have a right to what they're thinking and believing. I couldn't change it anyway.
And it's so funny because I remember when I first kind of was introduced to mindfulness at a very young age as a very controlling, people-pleasing, codependent person, I used to always worry, well, if I live this way, you know, like using these tools and really essentially surrender, you know, it's really like detachment and surrender, kind of like Buddhism in a way. My biggest fear was I would end up, and this is the ultimate ego, right? That I would end up, you know, like a monk in the streets or just like with nothing.
Yeah, they're also like a doormat. People just run.
Yes, that would be a fear too, like another big ego and trigger. So I imagine that this is like the ultimate ego resistance. Can you talk about that for people who are listening and they're like, this sounds amazing, but oh my God, I think my life would fall to shambles.
Yeah, well, I would say test it. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. When people fill in this Judge Aniba worksheet that I've pointed to earlier, and they question it and they turn it around, oh my goodness, it gives us a life we never dreamed of. You know, as someone sitting beside the road with a beggar's bowl, no one's going to give me anything. No one's going to give me food, for example. And I question that. Is it true no one's going to give me food? Can I absolutely know that it's true no one will give me food? And how do I react when I believe the thought no one's going to give me food? All of a sudden, my stomach starts growling. It doubles up. And I start getting weaker physically as I imagine me like hours from now or days from now with no food in my bowl as I sit here in the same position. It's a mind's play. And then I see the past where no one gave me food and people pointed and laughed at me. So I'm sitting in this meditative thing, you know, in these questions. And no, I want someone to give me food. Turned around. I don't want someone to give me food. And that's so weird, but it's not to be believed. It's try it on. I don't want anyone to give me food. What would that be? be like. It wouldn't stop them from giving me food. It's not going to cost me anything, which is what you and I were pointing to when we started this. You know, I don't want anyone to give me food. It's a wonderful thing to sit in. A wonderful thing. I want someone to give me food. Another turnaround is I want me to give someone food. Now I've got direction. I've got the real food. Should someone give me food, I give a portion of that food away. And so I'm being fed in every way. And the worst that can happen, sitting beside the road, if I'm dying of hunger, the worst that can possibly happen is what I'm thinking and believing. And in that, I find such peace, Lacey. We don't even know. You know, if we died, we don't even know. You know, if someone shoves me out of an airplane, the worst that can happen on the way down is what I'm thinking and believing. And I don't say that lightly. You know, it's for each of us to test, because life is as we believe it to be. If I'm frightened, I look to myself. If I am depressed, I look to myself. There's a cause for suffering, and the ego's play. That's the cause of all of it.
And through practicing this for so long, because I'm going through my head, like even just the things that are triggering me today, you know, that I would have to address and look at. And I love that what this ultimately gives you is openness. It's time and space it opens for you. You know, it's truly that. But as I go through like the list that's triggering me, even just today alone with everything that's on my plate, there are so many things I have to tackle.
And what's true is, if you question it, it's not true that you have to do one of those choices. It's just not true. It's nothing you have to do. It's the gift you give. It's what you're born for. It's your life. And at no time do you have to give it.
Wow. Man, so powerful. It's literally mind-bendingly powerful.
Yes, my heart. We're not in some torture chamber here.
And what does a normal day look like for you now?
Okay, I get up before daylight and dress and throw my tennis shoes. I love to walk in the dark, and then it starts getting light, and I see the sun starting to light. I can't see the sun yet, but I see the light start to the mountains and the sky, and oh my gosh, it's just heaven. And well, I love the mind I walk with. That's why it's heaven. And I remember days I could walk and wouldn't even notice the mountains or the sky. I'd be so self-absorbed, self meaning past self, future self. Then I come back and I boil water for tea and sometimes coffee. Oh my goodness. Then I shower and life is meditation for me. Doing the dishes, walking from the bedroom to the closet. It's this internal life. This awareness is ongoing. It's not something we have to sit in eventually. It's ongoing, unceasing meditation, awareness.
And do you feel in your life to be in the state of awareness so constantly that you have to delegate a lot of daily to-dos in order to maintain this?
You know, I'm not good at delegating. It's just, I think it's a talent that I don't have. And when COVID hit, I had to cancel all the hotels, you know, all over the world that I had deposits on, et cetera, and return everyone's tuition. And that pretty much left the company with nothing. And long story short, a couple of volunteers popped up so I can do that 1 hour a day being with event in the morning. So that's the next thing on my list. I do my walk, I shower, I boil the water, and just sit down for this one day event so I can meet the world. And, you know, that's the love of my life, people and life. So, you know, that's pretty much my day. That's it. But, you know, I do receive a lot of invitations, and people want me to do online events with them. And it's just enough to keep these two volunteers and I on. I'm financially, I'm good, but to support them, to support this work that we do for an hour a day, that is so just stunningly excitement.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. The things people come up with are just so us.
And do you find, and I swear I'm just going to pick your brain a little bit more. This is all my ego asking questions, right? It's the fear.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Good. I'm so grateful for your generosity in it and answering. Do you find that when you started the work after living, you know, at the depths of your suffering, that a lot of things in your life just fell off that were no longer serving you? So, for instance, the stuff that causes us stress or to feel control. And
it just fell away.
And that's how it is today, still for you, I imagine.
Yes, thankfully. Yeah, I don't need things and people to be happy. They are literally living in me, not outside of me. And so I always have enough. And we all do. If we all look like right now at where we're sitting or standing and just look around, and there's not one thing there that isn't specifically there for you to serve you. And that's how life is. You know, I'm looking over, there's a couch in my office here, and you know, it could wait 100 years and I'd never sit on it, but it's there to serve me and it's immovable. There are pictures on the wall, and they're lovely, and they don't say, look at me. They just are there. And the same with the windows, and there's nothing that isn't for us. The gifts of life we take for granted, they don't mind. They're gifts. They don't have to be noticed. But it's so brilliant to see, to experience how the ground holds us. We can walk on it. It's just, I find these things just remarkable.
Man, so beautiful. And one question I have too, getting back to that moment, that awakening, you know, that brief, special moment that allowed all of this space to happen. Where do you feel that comes from? Source, God, the need, and the moment?
This too is either past or future. The space can't be space unless it's remembered. It has to be remembered or anticipated to be. And to be is the gift of the apparent mind. And so I am not an enemy of the ego. I found that love is the power. Ego's play is to love life and all that it offers up. And life is purely imagined. So if we don't love our life, you know, we can just, in my world, just identify our thoughts, write them down, and question them. And of course, that Judge Your Neighbor worksheet is always free on thework.com. It consists of 6 questions that cover any given situation that comes to mind. And we fill those in, and then there's our mind on paper. And we question the cause of our suffering.
Well, bravo. You're my ultimate expander.
your questions are just so good. I've enjoyed them so much. Oh my gosh, we get to hear the answers together.
I'm so grateful. And it's been a while since years, in my 20s, I read Loving What Is, and I can't wait to revisit. But yeah, tell us where we can all find you and that beautiful Zoom you were talking about, your books, and just how you're showing up, you know, these days.
It's thework.com or byronkatie.com, and that's it.
Amazing. Yeah, and you have videos here, you have all of your books listed. Just as you said, when you click on the link, How to Do the Work, which we'll link in the podcast, it has a downloadable PDF that literally shares exactly what you showed or highlighted on the podcast today, the 4 questions, the turnaround, so you can get started right away. The book I obviously began with was Loving What Is, but you have a few wonderful books to check out. And at the very, very top of your site. It's At Home with BK on Zoom. You can sign up there to check out the Zoom that you were just talking about.
Yeah, we do the work an hour in the mornings, 9 a.m. Pacific time. And I love it so much. And of course, everyone's invited. Gosh, it's my heart's desire to meet the world.
And am I crazy? I do remember this briefly, that you have a space, and maybe not with COVID anymore, but have a space in Ojai.
Yes, this sweet little building downtown in this sweet little village that without COVID, I show up to and we just kind of hang out and do a little work.
And is that where you reside, is Ojai?
In Ojai, uh-huh.
The best. So special.
Yeah, such a sweet little community.
And where are you from originally when you were talking about the small town?
This little tiny desert town on the border of, now I don't even think it's a town with neighborhoods anymore, but it was a little town called Needles. And my father was an engineer for Santa Fe Railroad. So we moved from Texas, where he was born and raised, and I was born, and the railroad sent him there during World War II. So, oh my goodness, it seems so ancient, but I was born in 1942, and there was a war going on, and et cetera. So interesting times, listening to all the stories and everything there. Yeah, so little community going through all of that, and as a child, just playing with the neighborhood kids, and like, none of it touched us.
Yeah, I read this one book, I can't even remember the name, that really touched on that time. It was actually based in Canada, but how present the Cold War became as a fear to children at that time. Do you feel like this is completely off topic with everything, but do you feel like that was very present in your adolescence and childhood?
I wasn't touched by it. And I have no reason and had no reason to think that all my childhood friends were in touch with it either. It just wasn't discussed in front of children, and or at least in my culture, when they wouldn't take my father in the service because of his health, and then they sent him there to do that job.
Well, thank you, Katie. I'm so grateful for your time and energy, and I have so much to chew on and think about. It certainly is really profound, you know, even with the work we teach, because it shows how much deeper you can really take what's coming up and what's triggering you, and letting anything fall off that isn't the true authentic self beyond ego, you know, like the essence. So I'm just so grateful for this conversation today, and I can't wait to dig into that PDF to look at quite a few of the things coming up for me. Right,
well,
now.
You are amazing, and I just would love keeping up with your life, Lacey. And again, thank you for all the good you do and for having me today.
Thank you. You too. We'll have to stay in touch. Just sending you a lot of love during this time.
Okay, precious. I just signed up for your podcast.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Yes. There will be so many wonderful guests like yourself this year. So we're really grateful over here.
Stay well, precious.
You as well. Take care, Katie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, definitely send it to the friend, the family member, whoever out there could benefit. That's how I garner a lot of my information, are when friends shoot over a really profound episode they've heard somewhere to me. I also want to encourage you, if you want to be entered to win a 1-year membership to The Pathway, go and leave a 5-star podcast review. We've been announcing some really cool ones and reading them off, and it's been pretty profound how already those Pathway memberships have been super instrumental to the people who have won them. We'll choose a new winner each month, so listen and hear at the end of the episode to hear if you've won. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.